Hey there, everybody, boys and girls, and everybody in between. Happy new league year in the NFL. It's Andrew Brandt. This is the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. And I waited until Friday of this week, recording this on March 19th, because I wanted to get 48 hours into the new league year. That's right. The NFL doesn't go by the calendar year. They go by the league year, which begins mid-March every year. And today, this year's opening bell was at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, March 17th. I'm going to give you some impressions of free agency in my Brandt's rants this week, but I'm glad I waited because we have the massive TV deals, which will be my opening rant about what's happening. First, a word on me, just to share this. Another reason I'm not doing this till Friday, because I was lucky enough to get the second vaccine shot on Wednesday. Yes, the new league year and St. Patrick's Day was also my day for the second Moderna vaccine. And boy, on Wednesday, did I feel good. All this talk about it's going to knock you down for a couple days. And everyone was feeling that. And that was going to happen after the second shot. After the first shot was okay. It was just pain at the site of the injection. And then Wednesday, all I had was, like you said, pain at the site of the injection. But whoa, waking up Thursday morning after not sleeping very well, hit me like a brick, hit me like a truck ran me over. Yesterday, Thursday the 18th, was a rough one for me as I felt the effects of the second vaccine. So if it happens to you, here I am thinking I'm Mr. Fitness. I work out every day. I do triathlons. I do ultras. I'm going to do an adventure this summer climbing up mountains. Well, it can happen to anyone. And me, you know, this self-aspirational Mr. Fitness, it got me. So I am better today on Friday, the 19th, but I am still not there yet. That second vaccine is doing something. And my doc friends say, that's great. It's working. That means it's working. So here I am. It's working on me. The immune system is responding. And I am now fully vaccinated, waiting for this sort of to take hold in my body. So I'm appreciative of that, obviously, for whatever it's worth for me. Do get vaccinated when your time is called. Okay, let's get right to it. Before we get to the player deals, before we get to free agency, before we get to the activity of teams like the New England Patriots, here we go. The NFL, what has been rumored for weeks, if not months, scores in a big way, maybe the biggest way possible. New television contracts with all the standbys, ESPN/ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and a new wrinkle where Amazon, which has dabbled in Thursday Night Football, now takes over Thursday Night Football and streaming only. Done deals for a decade, starting 2023. We'll see if the money's layered in before that. But oh my God, doubling. So it's you see different reports on how much it is, anywhere from $90 to $110 billion. Let's just say $100 billion. Over 10 years, that works out to about $300 million per team per year. Again, think about this, $300 million per owner per year just for media. Just for media. Now, think about that in relation to what they have to pay players. Player salary cap this year obviously went down to 182. Say it even spikes up and gets over 200 in the next 2 years. Well, 2 years from now, they're going to be averaging 300. Okay, so $100 million more in just media revenue than what they have to outlay for the players. It's fantastic for the owners. It is. There's never been a better time to be an NFL owner. You have a team-friendly, which I've talked about for a year, team-friendly 10-year collective bargaining agreement with the players. Your biggest expense is your labor cost. The labor cost is pretty good for NFL teams compared to NBA teams, Major League Baseball teams, even NHL teams. You have that. Now you're locked into all these TV deals. And what a score for NFL owners, smiling ear to ear. Listen, I've said this for years, going back to the Kaepernick stuff. Do people really think any slight downturn in NFL ratings was going to be a problem, whether it was due to Kaepernick, due to COVID, due to whatever? Of course not. I always wonder why we even care about NFL ratings, because I was just proved right. It has no effect on the bottom line. Zero. Zero effect on the bottom line. So do you think anyone that NBC or CBS or ESPN or Fox or Amazon is going to say to the NFL, yeah, we're going to negotiate a little more firmly here because your ratings went down. Oh, my God, they'd be out of the conversation. Somebody else would be in. It'd be over. Not happening. So the NFL basically named their price. In this environment, with COVID, with economics down across the board in every category in economics this country, they secure 100% increases in their media deals. So basically, CBS and Fox go from $1 billion a year to $2 billion a year. ESPN ABC goes from like 1.9 a year to 2.6 a year. Okay? NBC goes from like 900 mil a year to like 2 bill a year. And then you have Amazon taking over for Fox. Fox was at 550 a year, and Amazon's going to be at $1.1 billion or $1.2 billion a year. So think about all that. Basically doubled. The NFL doubled. So again, think of yourself as an NFL owner with these minor blip of a downturn in revenues from 2021 from having no fans. Who cares? You now have such a valuable franchise. Franchise values are going to skyrocket because of two things: a 10-year CBA and 10-year media deals. The CBA is very team friendly. The media deals are extremely team friendly. Anyone who's going to come in and try to purchase an NFL team now is going to be blessed with that. And the franchise values, I can only imagine how high they'll go. You have the latest sale to David Tepper of the Carolina Panthers, which has to be one of the lower value teams, probably in the bottom quartile at $2.2 billion. So just think about franchise values. And I'll say it again. Listen, the NFL owners are relentless, savage negotiators. They pushed and pushed and pushed and got the players to sign an early deal a year ago. You know all my issues with that deal. The players hemmed and hawed and fought about it, and only 51% voted for it, but that's all they needed. So then the NFL is armed with a 10-year labor agreement that allows for a 17th game, new inventory right away, starting this year. And they go to the TV networks. They're like, hey, you're not going to have a strike. You're not going to have a lockout. And you got 17 games. Brilliant. Just brilliant. So the NFL is gold. It's the most compelling television programming in the history of the world. Anyone who was thinking this is going to go a streaming way or something like that. Yeah, streaming is a part of it with Amazon, but it's still traditional old TV. And I know a lot of people that only watch TV for NFL games. Like, there's nothing else they watch. Now, maybe they'll watch some NBA. Maybe we'll watch some major events like the Masters or Wimbledon. But 90% of why they have a TV is for the NFL. There we go. Okay. So our first and most important business of sports rant for this week is, before we get to the player side, the owners won with media in a dramatic fashion, like we always predicted they would. Any downturn in ratings? Who cares? Who cares? They just proved it. 100% increases. They doubled the deals. They doubled the deals. Okay, before we get to the next rant, let's get a word from our sponsor, DraftKings. You know it's March Madness. This week, DraftKings has an unbelievable offer. So all you have to do, bet $4 on any underdog in the NCAA tournament, any one of them. Now, if they win, you win $256. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code ROSS, R-O-S-S. All you have to do is bet $4 on any of the underdogs in the NCAA tournament. So any of them, pick your one. Now, if they win, you win $256. So check that out. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Okay, back to the rants. Let me give you my early impressions on free agency in the NFL. And I think you know my caveat here, because I have to wait and see the deals. And it's going to be a while before we drill down and see some of these deals that have come in. And you know the game that agents and media play. I'm not part of this, even though I am an agent and I am media, but I don't do this, which is agents do the deal. They score, they talk to their media source. They make sure it's out there in the most positive light possible. and then you drill down and say, that's not really what the player got. This happens. Some people say, why does this happen? It seems disingenuous, but that's the game we play. I've been on both sides of it. It's just to appease, if you're a team exec like I was, if that floats the boat of the player to sign the deal and the agent to sign the deal, sure, go blast it to Ian Rappaport, to Adam Schefter, to other people and say, hey, this is what we got. And only nerds like me in a couple of weeks will drill down and say, that's not really a deal. Now, if you follow me, of course, you see my translations out there. If it's 60 million, I'll say, well, it's 2 years, 20 million, and we'll see. And that's usually what most of these deals are. I think the biggest illustration of it, 1 year ago, first day free agent signed by the Miami Dolphins from the New England Patriots, a player named Kyle Van Noy reported as a $54 million contract over whatever it was, 4 or 5 years. Well, 1 year later, he's gone without any remaining financial obligation. So it became a 1 year deal, $15 million. So people say, well, there's nothing wrong with $15 million. Well, it's a far cry from $54 million. So this just shows how these deals are so misreported. And I try, you know, I'm on my mountaintop every year saying, don't believe it. But I understand you get it out there, you get the number out there, and all of a sudden you're saying this guy makes $12 million a year, $15 million a year. He doesn't. He makes whatever he makes in the first year, which is I mean, say guaranteed in the first year. Who's going to cut a player right after signing him? So there really is no value to a first-year guarantee. So there, it really is something where the teams, even for these best-of-best players, where they have this. Okay, impressions. We have to start with the Patriots. I said for weeks that with this diminished cap, teams that manage the cap well will be better off than teams that don't, and teams can separate themselves with this diminished cap. Shrewd bidding by teams with cap room can create opportunities. I think the Patriots are one of these teams. Now, some of their deals don't look so great in terms of what the market has borne after that. But I think two teams stand out in terms of what they're doing, the Patriots and the Jaguars, in terms of being surgical and finding players in this diminished, depressed market and making deals with them. What stands out among the Patriots, and they just announced 10 free agent signings today. I thought it was a misprint. 10 free agent signings coming from their press release. The tight ends, of course. They signed Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, identical deals that average $12.5 million a year. I say this, the Patriots don't pay wide receivers. They don't pay running backs. And, of course, since Brady, they don't pay quarterbacks. But they pay tight ends, and that's been a history with them, going back to Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, both at the top of the tight end marketplace years ago. Now we're in a position where Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry at the top of the financial marketplace. So think about this. Other tight ends are signed, like Gerald Everett signs a one-year deal of $6 million with the Seattle Seahawks. Other tight ends signing whatever they sign. Jared Cook, I think, with the Chargers. I'm sure it's a few million dollars. The Patriots are going to be paying in cash this year $34 to $35 million to tight ends. $34 to $35 million to tight ends. They'll pay Cam Newton a couple million dollars. They'll pay whatever other quarterbacks are on the roster a couple million dollars. So they're paying whatever, $4 to $5, $6 million for quarterback, $35 million for tight ends. Think about that. Aguilar seems like an overpay. It's something like $26 million over 2 years, and then it's probably more after that, but that's not guaranteed. Who cares? When you see these other wide receiver deals, you know, Manuel Sanders only getting $6 million, John Brown getting $4 million, Juju getting $8 million. Who knows what Galladay is going to get? And those are one-year deals. Seems like Aguilar is quite an overpay. And what a change of fortune for this guy who was really run out of town in Philadelphia, and he could really help that team right now. So that's another impression in this free agent market. The diminished part of it really stands out with the pass rushers. I think the highest pass rush deal is Shaq Barrett going back to Tampa, like 17 a year. Think about that, 17 a year. Joey Bosa a couple of years ago gets 27 a year. Like 5 years ago, Khalil Mack, 23 a year. Aaron Donald, 23 a year. So think how poorly the top of the market at the pass rusher has gone down. Now, again, I say this every year. The problem with looking at these deals is the franchise tag guys are off the market. Now, there have been some signings like Leonard Williams getting in at $21 million a year coming off the tag. So there's 21. But But the best players are on tags, so they clearly set the market, and we'll see what happens. Speaking of that, my friend, been to my class, someone I advise on his contract situations, Allen Robinson signed his tag. It's more than the franchise tag. He's coming off a higher number. So he's at $18 million. He signed it because he sees where this wide receiver market is going. It's going nowhere. Kenny Golladay, as of this recording, is shopping around to the Ravens, to where else was he going? New York Giants, maybe other teams checking in on him. He's obviously not getting what he wants. And the Bears with Allen Robinson. So we'll see what happens with that. But the wide receiver market is down, and that's no surprise. Running back market's going to be down, even though Kenyon Drake seems like an overpay at 14 over 2 with the Raiders. And then the Raiders, what are they doing? They're cutting their best players, as are the Bears. And the Bears cut Fuller and Hicks. Seems like they're two of their best players. Also, it would seem like those are the two players they offered for Russell Wilson along with draft picks. And luckily the Seahawks were savvy enough to see, well, you're probably just going to cut these players. I'm just guessing, but the day after those talks with Seattle break off, they cut two starters. Not sure what's going on there. But again, you never know. And these guys can be cut, which is my big deal. They can be cut. You know, they can be cut without any remaining financial obligation. Okay. I got a lot of questions about this Taysom Hill thing. When I said teams can separate themselves who have managed the cap well, there's the other side of that, teams that have not managed the cap well. And in my opinion, at the top of that list is the New Orleans Saints. Now, they will count $22 million for Drew Brees. Maybe they split it out by not transacting the retirement until after June 1. So they'll count 22 this year, or that way they'll count 11 this year and 11 next year. They're so cap strapped. They've cut Janoris Jenkins. They've cut other players. Their quarterback's going to be Jameis Winston making a few million dollars, or to see what happens with Taysom Hill. Now, speaking of Hill, he had 1 year left at $12 million. 1 year, $12 million. They are so cap strapped that they took his 1 year, $12 million, and added 3 years that are dummy years, that are fake years. And they totaled it up. It's almost like they picked a fun number, $140 million. So he's making 12, 140 minus 12, 128. They threw in $128 million. Was that $42 million a year? No, what is that? $32 million a year. $128 million for Taysom Hill in a completely made-up contract. So let me explain. I've had questions about this. Taysom Hill is going to make the same $12 million he was going to make. They've added 3 years in order to bonus out that $12 million and then spread it out for cap purposes over these three or four dummy years. Okay? So they're so cap-strapped, they have to go to Taysom Hill making $12 million, add on phony dummy years, what are called voidable years, and spread out the cap for three or four more years. That's going to hit them next year as dead money, just because they're so desperate for cap room. And what did they do? They put in the contract that at the end of the year, these extra years automatically void. There's no chance in God's green earth that these years ever become reality, including next year. It will all void as of the end of this year. Maybe it's December, maybe it's January, whatever it is. That's how cap-strapped they were. So people ask, what did they do with Taysom Hill? Here's what they did. They made up a contract in order to gain, what is it? I don't know, $7 million of cap room? To gain $7 million of cap room that will hit their cap next year as dead money to do that. Okay, just think about that. Now think about all the teams that have done no proration, no restructures, no reason to do that, but they had to do that. Tom Brady did the same thing, added some dummy years on the contract. I think he actually got more money to sign than he was supposed to make. And again, those years will void. It'll be a dead money charge, so on and so on. So this is where we are. Now, people say, how do they do this? Well, it's happened for years. I mean, these voidable years and dummy years and dead money push out. Yeah, that happens. But the Saints were so strapped that they had to go to Taysom Hill. Making $12 million, still making $12 million, and added a few years, called it $140 million. They might have well called it $140 trillion. They might have well have called it $30 billion, right? doesn't matter. It's fake years. So Taysom Hill has got a fun contract that means nothing. He's making exactly what he's supposed to make. Okay, finally, I just want to let everyone know that in my day job at Villanova, we're having our symposium this week. It's our big event every year. Obviously, with what's going on in the world, we can't do it live. But we're having 3-hour, probably 75-minute sessions this week. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, the discussion is about the COVID effect in sports. We're going to have executives from different leagues talking about their situation, NBA, Major League Baseball, track and field, talking about the COVID effect on sports. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, name, image, likeness. You may have seen the video going around about the different venues for weights at NCAA tournament for men and women. That woman that posted that, Sedona Prince, she's got a suit, an NIL, name, image, likeness suit against the NCAA. We're going to have scholars on that. We're going to have the head of the Big East Conference. And we're going to have someone in compliance really talk about this important issue of name, image, likeness in college sports. Thursday night, social justice and athlete activism in sports. The great, the venerable ESPN Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Lee will be co-hosting that with me. The great Dave Zirin, who wrote writing a book with Kaepernick, has written a book with Michael Bennett, and Jim wrote a book on Jim Brown. He will be on the panel, as well as Ken Shropshire, the great scholar on these issues. So I'll put the link in the show notes. The Villanova Symposium is this week. Also, if you haven't already, start getting my newsletter Sunday morning, Sunday 7. More content, more interesting content for me, hopefully. More about my personal life, more about what I'm doing, other things. Sunday 7 newsletter. Sign up at andrew-brandt.com. Follow me on Twitter if you don't already, at Andrew Brandt. Thanks to my producer, Brian Neal. Thanks to my musical producer, Sam Grant. Apple Podcast rankings and comments are always appreciated. And we'll be back next week with another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt.